Eduardo Galeano just visited our studio for an interview. I asked him first to read a passage from his new book, a passage about friends who were imprisoned while he was in exile. This piece is titled Celebration of the Human Voice.
Their hands were tied or handcuffed, yet their fingers danced, flew, drew words. The prisoners were hooded, but leaning back, they could see a bit, just a bit, down below. Although it was forbidden to speak, they spoke with their hands. Pino Ungerfeld taught me the finger alphabet, which he had learned in prison without a teacher. Some of us had bad handwriting, he told me. Others were masters of calligraphy. The Uruguayan dictatorship wanted everyone to stand alone, everyone to be no one. In prisons and barracks and throughout the country, communication was a crime. Some prisoners spent more than 10 years buried in solitary cells the size of coffins, hearing nothing but clanging bars or footsteps in the corridors. Fernández Huidobro and Mauricio Rosenkopf, thus condemned, survived because they could talk to each other by tapping on the wall. In that way, they told of dreams and memories, fallings out and out of love. They discussed, embraced, fought. They shared beliefs and beauties, doubts and guilts, and those questions that have no answer. When it is genuine, when it is born of the need to speak, no one can stop the human voice. When denied the mouth, it speaks with the hands or the eyes or the pores or anything at all. Because every single one of us has something to say to the others, something that deserves to be celebrated or forgiven by others.
Eduardo Galeano, when did you feel that it was safe for you to return to Uruguay?
I went back to my country at the beginning of 85, it was, 1985.
Was that after the dictatorship had fallen?
Yes, it was at the end. It was finishing.
You had many friends who stayed in Uruguay. Were many of those friends in prison or tortured?
Yes.
During the years that you were in exile?
Yes, a lot of them. A lot of them.
How did they seem changed by the experience? Were they very different when you met them later?
They were different, and I was different also, because time passed by and you change if you're really alive. So at the beginning you leave, I mean, you're coming back and you really never went away. But afterwards you realize that the country changed, and you also changed. And it took some time for me to accept it. And I am still thinking that and feeling that Uruguay is a country I choose to live.
You had friends who were imprisoned and who were tortured. You probably also had friends, though, who tried to suppress their own opposition to the dictatorship so that they and their family could live safely. And I wonder,
yes,
how you think they were changed,
yes,
by
were,
suppressing,
yes,
that
they
opposition.
They were in exile also, no? The inside exile, the exile inside the frontiers. It was a structure of fear. Fear is really something that once you are trained to eat it each day, you know, fear at breakfast and fear at lunch and fear at dinner. Later, it's quite difficult to get rid of it. People who were living in Uruguay in that period were obliged to silence and obliged to lie. You should lie to survive. And later, it's there are some mutilations. You say mutilations of the soul that are not registered in any statistical, information. But these secret wounds are terrible, no? In a country who have suffered a long military dictatorship.
How democratic is Uruguay now?
Well, politically it's democratic. I mean, there are a lot of political parties and we have freedom of expression and so on. The problem is that Uruguay, as almost all or Latin American countries, have undemocratic or anti-democratic economic and social structures. So poverty increased a lot in these last 20 or 25 years, and the country is unable to give a decent job to young people, and so we have a structure who is refusing young people the right to live in their own country, and this is quite undemocratic, no?
What do you mean it's refusing people the right to live in their own country?
They are expelled by economic conditions. I mean, they cannot get a job, a decent job inside Uruguay, so they are obliged to go outside. And some of them, if they can, they come here in the States or elsewhere, Australia, Hawaii, Brazil. I don't know, everywhere you find Uruguayan people, we are like gypsies. And expelled by this economic and social structure, which I think is deeply anti-democratic, no? Because if you are a prisoner of necessity, then you are not a free person.
My guest is the Uruguayan writer Eduardo Galeano, who's best known for his trilogy Memory of Fire, which is, well, like a poetic history of the Americas. His new book is called The Book of Embraces. And we'll talk some more after we take a short break. This is Fresh Air. My guest is the Uruguayan writer Eduardo Galeano, who's now visiting the United States on the occasion of the publication of his new book, The Book of Embraces. There was a petition in Uruguay a few years ago to punish the people of the dictatorship, to punish the torturers.
Yes.
And basically the government ruled out so many of the signatures for very trivial reasons that the petition was basically thrown out. So when in Uruguay now, are there people who you run into who you know were torturers or executioners, and do you speak with them? What, how do you handle?
No, I don't know personally any executioner or any torturer, but I'm a friend of a lot of people who have been tortured, and they have suffered this experience, and there are scars in the soul, not only in the body, mainly in the soul. But you know, people is anyway trying to live, and I believe that fear is not a good counselor. Mm-hmm. Counselor, fear of doing induces you to paralysis. The fear of thinking makes you a stupid person. And when you feel fear of remembering, you are perhaps doomed to repeat history instead of making it.
You have a story in your new book, The Book of Embraces.
Yes.
And I imagine this is about a friend of yours. This is someone who was tortured while he was in prison, and his torturer would always, after administering the torture, the torturer would complain about his nagging wife and what a pest his child was. And the person who he tortured was supposed to, feel sympathetic toward him because of this? He was lying there with blood all over him?
Yes, it happens like this. It's incredible. But they are really functionaries. I mean, I wouldn't say that the torturers and inquisitors and executioners, all these terrible military dictatorships we have suffered in Latin America and elsewhere also, that they have a certain greatness of horror, let's say. They don't have any greatness, not even the greatness of horror. They are just bureaucrats of terror, functionaries of this machine of fear. And this is the way it happens. I mean, they do their job 8 hours per day, and afterwards they are good family fathers and with their family life and so on. And this is what I was describing in the book.
Yeah, and I think the point you're trying to make there, too, is that they see themselves as just doing the job.
Just doing the job, yes. Because this is not only true about torturers. It's true about everybody. That in the modern dominant culture, you are obliged to this sort of schizophrenia. So that a lot of people, I think most of people, are obliged to live a contre-coeur, no? Against its own feelings. And you finally accept it, and you finish playing the role as an actor. And it's not only true about torturers.
Have you ever been imprisoned yourself?
Yes, but it was a few days, just 9 or 10 days. I was isolated in a cell and menaced of being tortured, but they didn't torture me. I was a privileged prisoner.
Because you were well known.
Yes, I suppose that I was more or less protected by fame, a certain fame. And this may be unjust, but that's the way it is.
When was this?
Oh, a lot of years ago. It was, I don't remember now, 1973, I think, 73.
Now, that was the year that you left Uruguay?
Yes, afterwards I left, because I don't want to live in prison. I mean, after they released me, I went away. And afterwards I lived in Argentina, where I found and directed a cultural magazine called Crisis. It was a very successful magazine. And later, times got worse there and worse, and I was obliged to leave Argentina too, and I went to Spain, because I don't want to be a prisoner, but I don't want to be a dead man also. It's, I prefer to be alive. It's much better than being a heroic corpse.
You once wrote, "I am a man from the South, and Latin American history teaches us to mistrust words."
Yes.
Why?
Well, they are used, bad used, ill used. They are manipulated, I mean. Words and images by the media and by the educational system and so on. In Uruguay, for instance, Liberty is the name of a prison. Can you imagine? And if you, I don't know, get inside the message you're receiving each day from the media, you are always discovering this contradiction between words and sense. And I think the adventure of writing have a sense if you can help to recover the lost sense of words. I mean, to give them back their lost sense. And this is true, I think, for almost all the words that are used each day, like love or democracy or freedom or everything.
If you're just joining us, my guest is writer Eduardo Galeano, who's visiting the United States from Uruguay on the occasion of the publication of his new book, The Book of Embraces. Do you think of yourself now as a Marxist or a socialist?
I have been strongly influenced by two sources. The first one was the Catholic Church. I was very, very Catholic when I was a child. And later, I was a student, a very good student of Marxism. And I think I have been marked by both influences. So I feel free. I mean, I wouldn't consider myself nothing, nor a Christian or a Marxist or nothing, no? Because I think it's a way of putting your freedom outside of yourself. I don't like any sort of determinism. I think I'm a free man. But anyway, from all that years, I learned that that Christianism cannot be reduced to the Holy Inquisition, and that socialism cannot be reduced to Stalinism.
When you returned to Uruguay, was there any resentment toward the exiles?
Yes.
From the people who stayed?
Yes, certainly. There are. But it's universal. It's not an Uruguayan virtue. The envy. Envy is universal. It's humankind.
So how would it be expressed to you?
I don't know. I don't care about it. I mean, At the beginning, there were a lot of problems between the exiled people and the people who were there. No? Some people felt that they were heroes of patriotism because they stood in the country in all the years of terror and fear, and the dirty, dirty years. And other people felt that they were heroes of freedom because they were in exile in all these dirty, terrible years. And I think that it's really a misunderstanding because it doesn't depend on the place you are. It's not a geographical question. Being free or being a real patriot, I mean, loving your country doesn't depend on where you live.
I'd like to ask you something, and I know the answer might seem obvious, but it might not be obvious at all. It might be really different than what any of us would expect. When it was safe to go back to Uruguay, why did you want to go back? You didn't have to go back.
No, I didn't. I choose Uruguay because I like my country and I like my people. But it's something you can't explain. I mean, you know, if I'm not stupid enough to think that I can explain love or and I have a love relationship with my own country, which implies that it's a very complicated relationship sometimes with you know, quarrels and disputes and hates and so on, like any real love relation, which is also a hate relationship and so on, not only loving each other in heaven. We are on the earth, and therefore everything is so contradictory and complicated. But anyway, I think it's the sort of marvel and horror I prefer.
Do you have contradictory emotions about the United States?
And about myself and about everything, because I'm alive, and there's a lot of contradictions inside, and fortunately enough, because otherwise it would be impossible.
Well, I want to thank you very much for talking with us, and I hope you have a good stay while you're visiting the States. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
My guest has been Eduardo Galeano, who is from Uruguay, is now visiting the United States, and his new book is called The Book of Embraces. I'm Terry Gross, and this is Fresh Air.